please, that we're missing, because I wasn't here at the beginning of last year?
No.
And you just say it at the beginning?
No. So we're going to be starting right now with the very, very end of Nishmat Kol Chai. And we're going to be starting with the phrase, Nahalelcha, Unishabachacha, Unfarercha, okay, Unvarecha, Shem Kodshecha. That's where we're going to start. So it, on your sheet, okay, it looks like this. We're right in the middle here. Okay, everyone see where we are?
No.
Okay. So I'm gonna do the classic yeshiva style. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We are 8 lines from the bottom. In the center of the line. Does everyone see it? Nahalelcha? That's where we are. Okay. So what we're going to do here is we're going to complete Nishmat Kol Chai, and then we're going to go on to what appears to be, for all the world, a separate piut, a separate liturgical poem in its entirety, namely Shochein Ad Merom V'Kadosh Shemo, which we never did either. Now, I must tell you that prior to all the prep and everything that I did, I always considered Shochein Ad to be part of Nishmat Kol Chai, just sort of like the final extension. Okay. However, the way it's treated in the research and in most of the material that discusses this, it's really all by itself, which is pretty fascinating. And as such, we're going to treat it all by itself. Then if we do have time, and that remains, of course, to be seen, we'll start Megillat Esther. I am prepared for that as well. If we don't, that's what we'll start next week. So here we go. So, Nehalelcha unisha be'echecha unva'erecha unvarechet shem kadshecha. So, we shall laud. Okay, because how do you really translate lahalel, to praise, all right, perhaps? But then how do you translate unishah be'echecha, which also means to praise? Okay, harezeh meshubach, right? Kol hamarbe harezeh meshubach, this is praiseworthy. So we're going to artificially say that nahalelcha means laud, L-A-U-D, as in the word laudatory. Okay, so we will laud you, and we will praise you, and we will glorify you. Now, it's a difficult word. How does man glorify God? Well, it certainly isn't from the side of God himself, because Kadosh Baruch Hu is le'ela le'ela mikol birchatav v'shirata. So no matter what we do, we're not going to make him higher. We're not going to make him greater. So I was thinking this.
We make them higher and greater in our own minds.
That's good. That's good. You actually just gave the opposite side of the coin of what I was thinking, which is interesting. In other words, did everyone hear what Chaya said? We have a conceptual problem. How do we glorify Kadosh Baruch Hu? So as we said a moment ago, Behemet, we can't. He's not going to be greater because
we say so.
We said so. Right? So Bechaya had a very nice suggestion. He'll be greater in our eyes. Now, I was thinking, perhaps it's all the Kabbalistic and Hasidic literature that I've been seeing over the last maybe 7-8 years, but I was thinking this. At least from the Kedushat Levi, you can get the sense. Now, again, what I'm about to say would make the Rambam turn over in his grave multiple times. Okay, but this is Hasidic / Kabbalistic analysis. Okay, from the side of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from his side, perhaps he, Kavli Yochol, feels glorified when we glorify him. So you actually have two approaches. Either, and this would fit with the Rambam, and I can't blame you for saying it because that's what you usually hear from me, that sort of approach, is that he'll be glorified in our eyes. On the other hand, you could say no, that in truth, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, in quotation marks, feels glorified because we glorified him. Okay? Now, lest you think that that's completely off the wall, for example, in the Kedushat Levi, many, many passages where there's an expression that you're bringing ta'anug, you're bringing joy and pleasure to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And again, the Rambam, Onkelos, everybody who is violently opposed to anthropomorphizing Hashem, taking Hashem and turning him into he who would have human-like concerns, they would sit there and go, excuse me, we're bringing pleasure to Hashem? What does that mean? So that's where that's coming from. Okay, next. Unevarecha et shem kadshecha. And we will bless, okay, your holy name. Okay, which really, again, over and over and over again, shem is code in rabbinic parlance for what? Essence. Now, which is interesting. So, for example, when we say Baruch Atah Hashem, we're really giving a blessing, if you will, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's essence, which is really an act on the philosophical, theological level of recognizing Hashem being wholly other, but at the same time trying to connect with him, to build a bridge of connection. Okay? Now, I was thinking about it from this perspective, which is kind of interesting. We know, those of us who have been lucky enough, which is hopefully everybody in this room, to be in a truly intimate, close relationship with spouse, with your children. It's just, you can't really describe it, because what's the goal? Whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children, you don't want to have the kind of love that overwhelms the other person and envelops the other person and prevents the other person from being able to grow on their own, right? You've heard the expression suffocating love. That's very unhealthy. You don't want to do that, okay? So then what are we actually talking about here when we're talking about we're blessing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it can't be that. But rather, what we're trying so very hard to do with our finitude, with our being finite, is we're trying desperately to reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, build that bridge, and yet recognize simultaneously that he is La'ela u'la'ela min kol berkatav shirata. Is it a challenge? Yes. It's a big challenge. Now, ka'amor, like it is said, L'David. David said this. Now you're going to recognize this because this is one of the Tehillim, okay, or perhaps the Tehillim that we say when on Rosh Chodesh, Borech Nafshi et Hashem, okay, which is Tehillim Kuf Dalet. Okay, now when we say Borech Nafshi et Hashem, this is preeminently what kind of experience when we use the word nefesh? Would you say it's spiritual or it's spiritual? So that's the spiritual component of man, correct? V'chol karavai, and all of, literally, okay, you're not going to see this in the art scroll or perhaps almost anywhere else, but what's really karavai? And if you're thinking the word kishkas, you're right. Okay. If say what? Well, no, it's actually karavai, which means my internal organs, or as they would say in certain parts of the country, my innards. Right?
Let's talk about innards a few sentences.
Exactly. We're not letting this go. The visceral organs are important. Very important. So what we're saying is we are going to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu what? On the spiritual level and on the very physical level. Okay, and what are we going to praise, and what are we going to bless, and what are we going to recognize? At Shem Kodesh, his holy essence, if you will. Now, This, in a nutshell, is the complex problem of being a religious human being. Because you know, and I know, that you cannot ceaselessly daven, and you can't ceaselessly do mitzvot. You're going to have to eat, sleep, etc. So man is this combination being where we do all these things that the rest of the animal kingdom does, and yet at the same time, we do all these things that differentiate ourselves from the animal kingdom. And then there's even a third idea, namely what? All these things that go on in the animal kingdom, we need to change them too. So the way we eat, procreate, even as you all are aware, the way we look at the act once we even leave the lavatory. What do? We say a bracha. Because we recognize that although all these acts are shared with the world at large and the animal kingdom at large, we need to differentiate them and say, you know what? Everything can be endowed with kedusha. You think about that. It's a very deep idea. And it really shows what man can try to become from a Torah perspective. Okay. Well, any questions?
Recognizing our dependence on Hashem.
And total dependence on Hashem. Right, because, for example, if you wanted to eat, I mean, if you wanted to learn, and you wanted to daven all the time, and you decided, that's it, I'm not eating. It's not going to work out too long. Right? Or as Rav Soloveitchik likes to say in many, many places, he says, man, better be careful and try not to violate the laws of nature, because he's not going to go very far. Okay? I don't care who you are. You can't jump off a cliff and sit there and go, God will provide. It's not going to help.
You might be busy.
Say what?
You might be busy.
Correct. All right. Now we have this interesting sort of little keta that we say, you know, if it's, for example, Yom Tov, this is where the Chazan would start with Yom Tov. If it's not Yom Tov, then the person who is doing Psukei Dezimra, the Chazan of Psukei Dezimra, would continue to say this too. But it's really not part and parcel of Nishmat Kol Chai. It's almost like its own little statement. Hakel Bata Atzumot. How do you know that it's its own little statement? Because someone else says it on Yontif differently than the person, right, who was the chazan for Psukei Dezimra. Okay? So that's how you really know that it's by itself. So let's see what it says. Now, the language here is very, very interesting. Hakel, now what does, so first of all, what's kale? As in kale, b'nei, kale, b'nei. What is that? What's kale? Yeah, but what aspect of Hashem?
Elohim.
It's close for sure, but it means all powerful. When we invoke Aleph Lamed, we're talking about Hashem's omnipotence. That's what we're talking about. Hashem's omnipotence. And in fact, we get beaten over the head by a word that is very difficult. Ta'atzamot. Now, ta'atzamot is a word, I'm telling you right now, if you were to take this word and you were to ask 99% of from people, unless they were educated Israelis, because then all bets are off. But other than educated Israelis. Yeah, but what's that mean? Ayin Sadi Mem means a bone, right? So what's it mean, ta'atzamot? So it actually means unlimited power. So kale, which already has the idea of omnipotence, is then, in case, it's almost like, in case you missed it, but ta'atzamot, okay, or ta'atzumot. So God in your absolute powerful God, in your absolute unbelievable uzecha, power, right? Right? So, like you all know, the name of the gun in Israel, in the IDF, is the Uzi, right? So, Hashem Oz Li'amo Yitain. So, this phrase of three words is talking about Hashem, without any question, Hashem being omnipotent. Okay? And it's interesting. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu who is omnipotent, which is, of course, why we don't use Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, but we use a different name entirely, okay? He's also one of the same time Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, right? It's very fascinating. Not that, God forbid, that there's two different gods, in quotation marks, but rather these are aspects of Hashem. Think of it this way. If you hold your diamond up to strong sunlight, what are you going to see? You're going to see a whole spectrum. But it's really, right, one spectrum made up of many different colors. So same thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many different aspects, some of which we completely fail to understand. So now we go on. Hagadol b'chvod shemecha, who is great in the honor of his name, in his very being, if you will. Hagibur, okay, what's Gibur? Gibur, strength. He's, again, going back to what? The idea of being omnipotent. Lenetzach. Netzach is forever. Okay? So in other words, unlike, let's say, a prize fighter who's worked out and worked out for this particular match for how long? Well, after those number of rounds, is he exhausted? Yeah. Not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He is omnipotent and remains so. Va'nora, okay? Nora is, now this is, try to do this in a non-poetic way. Va'nora b'noro etecha. He's awesome in his awesomeness. Now, that's very hard to wrap your head around. Exactly what that means, I'm not entirely sure. And I haven't seen a good explanation. But it really does mean that you are awesome in your awesomeness. That would be the correct translation. Correct.
Having trouble,
right? Right. And that,
the most awesome.
That's the theme. That's the theme that we've seen in Nishmat Kol Chai. It can't be expressed. Okay?
And did the same person write this as wrote?
You mean this little Hakel B'Tatzuma?
Yeah.
Probably not. But remember, there wasn't one person who wrote, okay, Nishmat Kol Chai either. It's multi-level. Just like there wasn't one person who wrote the Haggadah. Okay? So, now we're describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu again. And we're using a new expression, HaMelech. Okay, a word that we are very familiar with. Okay, from Rosh Hashanah, for example. Okay? And you know, we've gone through that a number of times, so I'm not going to belabor it. So, HaMelech HaYoshev, that you are the king who sits, Al Kisei, okay, on the throne, Ram, high, V'nisa, and lofty. Okay? So, I don't think anybody really can tell you exactly what that means. So again, we're using poetic metaphor to try in some ways to state in human terms that which is, in a sense, unreachable. Okay?
Don't
we always say it, Akisei Ram V'Nisa. Always. Okay? And that brings us to Shochein Ad. And that brings us also, at this moment, to an introductory piece that is different than anything you've had so far. Okay? Please make sure that Joan gets down. Joan, all the way down there, don't think that we're ignoring you.
I know I'm not ignoring you.
You're the first to get it.
We really like you. Okay? All righty, good. All right. So, since Shochein Ad really is its own piece, It requires its own introduction. Okay, so it's a piyut. A piyut. Now, you're all familiar with the piyutim, right, from Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. This, too, is a piyut. Okay? It's a liturgical poem. Now, don't let the word poem throw you off. Okay, it isn't roses are red, violets are blue. It's much, much deeper than that. And because of its very nature, we're going to look and see where it, from whence it comes. So it's actually based on a pasuk from Yeshayahu Perak Nun Zayin, pasuk Tet Vav. But it isn't following the exact order of the pasuk. So if you'll notice, I have on the sheet that I gave you, I have bolded in two instances the very same pasuk, but I bolded different words because I wanted you guys to see where it comes up with, where it says Ram v'nisa, okay, which really belongs where? To Hakel v'ta'atzumot, u'zecha. We already had Ram v'nisa. But in a sense, that brings us into Shochein Ad. And then you can see the next thing is bolded as Shochein Ad. But in Yeshayahu, you have two words that come in between. And then you get to Marom. Okay? And then finally, if you look in the second statement of the same Pasuk, then you see the expression V'kadosh Shemo. Okay? So that's why I did it this way, so hopefully it would stand out for you. So let's take a look and see what it says. So Yeshayahu says, Ki, for, ko. Now, ko is sort of the way it's usually translated in really old English, thus spake. Okay?
Thus.
But,
what?
Thus. Right?
Thus.
And even before thus, it was duff. Duff spake. But if you do that, it sounds like you're from Star Wars, okay? And you're one of the whatever those guys are, whatever who speak like that. But we're not going to translate this. Kiko, we're going to say, for this is what Amar was said, Ram v'nisa. Now here is very fascinating. Ram v'nisa in the pasuk in Yeshayahu is a name of what or who? It's the name of God. So while we use Ram v'nisa in Hakel b'ta'utzumot, Uzecha, to talk about the Kisei being Ram v'nisa, when Yeshayahu actually uses the words, Ram v'nisa is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is high and he is exalted. Okay? Now, same thing with Shochein Ad. Shochein Ad means, and again, When we go through it in the davening per se, we don't think this way, but what I'm really hoping is that after tonight, we're going to be able to daven this particular to feel it differently. Shochein Ad is actually, according to the Kabbalah, okay, in the Sefer Yetzira, okay, which is an early work of Kabbalah, Shochein Ad is another name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He who dwells for all eternity. That's what it is. That's what it really means. So we usually think Shochein Ad Marom, okay, that, and we're going to, you know, he who dwells on high. But we're going to see actually all the words in our text, but I'm just showing what Yeshayahu says. So
like eternal.
Yeah. He dwells eternally. Okay, V'kadosh Shemo. Okay, we're very familiar with that, right? That Hashem's essence is very holy. Marom, okay, which is eternal, he who dwells for all eternity. V'kadosh Eshgan, and he dwells with the holy ones. Who are the holy ones, of course?
Malachim.
Malachim. Remember we had a whole class once on angels?
Are there the footstools of the throne?
Say again?
Are there Malachim at the footstool of the throne?
They surround it. Malachi Asharet. They do, okay? But there's so many of them that they sort of encircle. Okay? Now, so that's the part that I really want to share with you, because you'll notice under the word Eshkon, in Ashkenazis they call it an Esnachta, so that's sort of like a semicolon. That's the part that's really relevant to what we're doing. And basically, this is an analysis that I found from a scholar named Ari Egli Doel, okay, a modern Israeli thinker that I actually found by doing research on the web. And he says this. I'm going to just translate the Hebrew for you in a free-flowing way. The essential motive of the entire piyut that we're about to do of Shochenad is our desire to praise and to laud HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in this way to build a bridge between our finitude, okay, and Hashem's transcendence. So we have, again, what are we going to encounter? We're going to encounter the classic problem. How can finite man praise infinite God? That's the challenge of Shochenad. Okay? Now, one of the challenges that's built into that, this is my own thinking that I want to share with you, is because since Hashem's infinite, and we can readily say, compared to Hashem, none of us are even a grain of sand on one of the beaches of the entire world. So that can be exceptionally depressing. You can sit there and say, and there were schools of Musar that did this, I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing, I'm worthless, blah, blah, blah. But if you do that, then what are you really besmirching? You're besmirching
Hashem's creation.
Correct!
Bidiyuk. You hit it in his likeness. So.
Exactly! Oh, you guys are great. We're besmirching the Stelem Elohim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in us. So that is not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. He doesn't want us to be arrogant, but he wants us to always feel that we're still a yesh. Okay?
Rav Torsky. Still significant somehow.
Yes. Yeah. Rav Torsky, who by this point has written, I don't know, 30 books, 35 books. Every time you hear him speak, what does he always say? I've written 35 books. They all say one thing. You need to feel good about yourself and have self-confidence and realize that you're a yesh and you're not an ayin. As you say, every time you hear him speak.
Self-esteem.
So here's the thing. Yes, we have to recognize that we are finite and Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Absolutely. But we cannot let that, in a sense, limit our attempts at trying to reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's very deep. If you think about it, really, not because I said it, but because Chazal say it, and it's a very true thing. Okay? So let's continue from there. Let's go to the text, back to the original text on your piece of paper. By the way, you can see how lucky you guys are, because you can read your page. You can see what mine looks like already. Okay. So anyway, we'll do our best. Here's what it says. Shochen Ad Marom, that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way our Payatan, the author of this piut, writes, is that you'll see he takes the same words the Yeshayahu uses, but he uses them in a slightly different way, sometimes a very different way. The Shochen Ad Marom, that you dwell, okay, in to the eternal heights, okay, and you dwell forever, the Kadosh Shemo, and your essence is holy. The Katuv, and this is from Tehillim Lamed Gimel Aleph, Rananu Tzadikim Hashem. Okay? That the Tzadikim will rejoice in Hashem. Now, here's the fascinating thing. These are the names, and if those of you who would like to write this down, because it'll help you as we go through it, these are the names that we're going to find now in Shochenad. Tzadikim, Yesharim, Chasidim, and Kedoshim. Tzadikim, I'll go through them again because I don't want to make you nervous. Tzadikim is found twice. Yesharim is found twice. then Chassidim and Kedoshim are each found once. Now, I know what you're thinking right away. I'm not a tzaddik. I'm not included in that one. I'm not Yashar. I'm not included in that one. I'm not even one of the Chassidim. And by the way, we're not talking the Baal Shem Tov here. We're talking, you know, Chassidim before the group of the Chassidim. And maybe for sure not, I'm not Kedoshim. But I want to tell you something. You and I are all of these in potential. And that's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. So you should never say to yourself, I'm not a tzaddik. You could say, I have not yet completely actualized the potential of tzidkut that lurks within me, that is within me. Okay? And if someone says to you, it's tzaddik, it's really not appropriate to sit there and go, I know. Okay?
You, I've had little kids who say, oh, he says it's a tzaddik.
That's good. Because you want them to think that way, that they're good and all that. But if someone, when you're an adult, says, oh, you're such a great tzaddik, it's really not a good idea to be overly agreeable to that. You know, it's a good idea to demur. Okay? But the same thing. Yesharim. Okay? Now, here's the thing, too. Here's the thing. It's very interesting. Because of who we are existentially, namely, we are both nefesh, and as we said before, we're both goof, right? The goof is always arguing with the nefesh and saying, we don't need you. And the nefesh is saying, help. Okay? So what that means is nobody's always a tzaddik, always yashar, always a chassid, always kedoshim. But I'll tell you this. Every time we do an act of gemilut chassadim, every time we legitimately, honestly, from our hearts, give tzedakah, every time we help a fellow human being, whether or not they're Jewish, it's immaterial, because as you guys all said so beautifully, everybody is what? B'tzelem Elokim. Every time we do that, then that aspect of being a tzaddik, being yashar, being chassid, being kedoshim, is being actualized. So, don't, you know, there's a very famous metaphor. It's found in a number of Hasidic works. The Sulam Mutzav Arza of Yaakov Avinu, right? But Yetzer Yaakov Meber Sheva, and he says, and he finds, he goes to sleep, and he wakes up, and or rather, he doesn't wake up in the middle of his dream. What does he see? A Sulam Mutzav Arza, the ladder that's on the ground. So say many of the Musarniks and many of the Hasidim and many Kabbalistic ideas, what's the whole story going on here? Okay, so if you look at the Rashi, you know, he focuses big time on the Malachim going up, the Malachim going up. So the real thing, according to all the Sifrei Musar, stay so focused on the Malachim. Stay focused on yourself. And as long as you're going up the ladder, it might be a little tiny step. But as long as you can look at yourself at night in the mirror and say to yourself, you know what? I climbed up part of a step. Okay? Because as we all know, how many numbers are there between 0 and 1?
Many.
Infinite. Infinite number. Really? Right? There's infinite number. So as long as you're going up even the least bit, then you're getting closer and closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that really takes away some of the feeling like, oh, I'm never going to get there. Okay? Because you're going to get there. You're going to get there on your level.
What happens if you go up, but then you have a little yirida every now and then too?
Yes. Then you're a human being. That's all. Right? It's like when our kids first started to walk. Two steps forward, one step backward. Right? Or you were trying to have them do something that would, which is ultimately good for them, and of course, what do? They fight you 100%. I don't want to read. I hate reading. Okay, and then of course, fast forward 5 years. You know, you can't take the book away from them. Okay, right. So everybody changes and everybody grows, but that's the key. So what's the takeaway? So the bullet point okay, in this verbal PowerPoint is growth, real, authentic, spiritual growth. That's the key. Then you can be one of the tzaddikim, one of the yisharim, one of the chassim, one of the kadoshim. That's what you are aiming for, okay? And not for anybody else in the world except yourself, okay? And that's who you judge yourself against, okay? Who in the world wants to judge themselves as a lo mei Torah, you know, against Rav Moshe Feinstein zatzal, okay? Or against Rav Herschel Schachter, or against the Stipler Rav, okay? So no one can do that. Who wants to judge themselves as a tzaddik, right, against so many of the great tzaddikim? Oh, I can't be like Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. So does that mean you pack it up and go home? I can't be like Sarif Rivka, Aleha. I'm never going to be a tzedekas like that. Does that mean you stop trying? No. Because the famous idea, and this is from one of the great Hasidic rabbis, is that the important idea is that you become the best that you personally can be. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you.
Sounds like the Amish.
Yeah, well, I think they probably got it from us. Okay. Be the best that you can be. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. So, V'katuv, Rananu Tzadikim Ba'ashem. Right? The Tzadikim are going to rejoice. Now, L'Yisharim, for the straight ones, the ones that are on the path, Nava Tehila, it's so pleasant to give praise. It's not a burden, right? Which is why you really should not go from tefillin on to tefillin off in 17 minutes, okay? But rather, you should try to, okay, l'sharim navatila. It's pleasant, it's pleasing. That's what you want to do. Bifi, okay, oh, by the way, mentally, when you say this before the word bifi, I find it very helpful to put in a word v'lechein. And therefore, okay? So what we've talked about so far, the tzaddikim, who rejoice in Hashem, the yesharim, the straight ones, who find it pleasing to praise Him. And in mentally, I always put in now, v'lechein, and therefore, b'fi yesharim titalal. In the mouths of the yesharim, of the straight ones, will you be praised. So notice what's happening. It's a conjunction of what? The physical and the spiritual. Because how else are you going to verbalize except with your tongue, your teeth, your mouth, right?
You put in a l'chein before b'fi?
Yes. Because we've already said that the tzaddikim are going to be rananu, yes? And the yesharim are going to enjoy praising Hashem. As, so v'lechein, or in English we'd say, as such, right? Bifi yesharim titalam. In the mouths of the straight ones will you be praised, will be divrei tzaddikim, and in the words of the tzaddikim, the great righteous ones, titbarach, will you be blessed. Uvalashan. So again, as Chaya pointed out earlier, wait a minute, we're going back to all these physical things. Yes, we are. Because how else can we do it? Ubalashan chasidim, and in a language, okay, or maybe even it could mean the tongue. It depends how you want to look at it. Because by the way, what do we call the word language in Hebrew? The word is lashon, right? Shmirat halashon means guarding the tongue, but also means guarding your speech. Ubalashan chasidim, and in the language, the tongue of the chasidim, titromam, will you be exalted. Ubekerev kadoshim, in the midst, okay, of the holy ones, titkadash. But this is not talking about the malachim. This is talking about us. Okay? The holy ones of the Jewish people. And not just the lamed vavniks. Okay, because I'm not a lamed vavnik. Maybe you're not a lamed vavnik. I don't know. You guys are very special people. It's hard to say. But the bottom line is, it means the holy ones of the Jewish people. Now, in case you weren't sure about that, look at the next six words. Uvamakalot rivavot. And in the tens of thousands. That's what that means. So that means the kadoshim reside within them. of Amecha Beit Yisrael, of your people, the Jewish people. So here we're focused on what? Particular. Okay? Aleinu l'shabeyach. Right? Aleinu. It's particular to the Jewish people. Now, Barina, enjoy Yitpa'ar. You'll be glorified. In the same way that we said it earlier, okay? With the two possibilities. So Yitpa'ar Shimcha, your name will be glorified, your essence will be recognized and glorified. Malkeinu, our king, b'chol dor v'dor. What we have is the idea of Knesset Yisrael from Rav Soloveitchik. It's an expression not only used by the Rav, but he looks at it as a trans-historical entity, which in everyday language means the Jewish people since the moment of our inception until and after the time of Mashiach, She'avo Aleinu b'merav Amenu. Shekein. Now, that was the whole idea of the particularism. You ready for the second paragraph of the Shema, of the Aleinu? Shekein chovat kol yitzurim. You can't get more universalistic than that. It is the obligation of everything that exists. Okay? So again, you have these interesting and fascinating combinations. Man as spiritual, man as physical. The particular idea of our obligation as Jews to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and while at the same time the universal need of all creatures to do so. Okay? As I always say, from the amoeba to the blue whale. Okay? Lefanecha Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu. Before you. Now, we put in that moment of universalism. Now we're all the way back to particularism, because guys, Hashem Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoteinu comes from where? The first bracha of Shemona Esrei. So this is your on-ramp, okay, to Shema and Shemona Esrei. Okay, and we've already discussed that phrase before many times. So, Lahodot, we want to give thanks, okay? Lahalel, we want to praise. We want to lishabeach, we want to laud. We want to lifa'er, we want to glorify, we want to liromeim, we want to exalt. Okay, liromeim is going back right away to Ram v'nisa, right? Lahader, this is a new word. Lahader. So, lahader means to what? To honor. So in modern Hebrew, you have girls in Israel whose name is Hadar. Right? It's a beautiful name. You have one of our own grandchildren, for example, is named Tehila. Okay? Praise. So these words have been picked up. So you want to liramein, you want to lahader. Okay, levarech. You want to recognize and bless, laale to raise high, ulekales new word. Lekales is to acclaim. Okay, acclaim with everyone together. Okay, now al kol divrei shirot v'tishbechot. Al here is a funny word. Al means really. Ayin Mem. Ayin Mem. What does Ayin Mem mean? With. Im. So Al here really means Im. So we want to. We want to lahodot, we want to leil, shabech. So Al with kol divrei shirah v'tishbechot. With all of the shirot and the tishbechot. Now, another way to look at the word Al means really me'al. Over and above. So you could say, we're going to try to use all those praises that David HaMelech used, right? But no matter what we do, you, Hashem, are above. Al in a sense of le'ela. And, right? Beyond. Correct. Even beyond all the praises and the songs of David ben Yishai, right? Avdecha, your servant, Mishichecha, the he who is going to herald, of course, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Shiavo Alinu B'mehra V'Ameinu. Okay. So Rabotai, that concludes the Shulchan Ad and the Nishmat Kol Chai. And I think, without a doubt, this is some of the richest material I think we've ever done. And I'm almost amazed at the depth of these payatanim, of these the people who wrote this, these piyutim, how beautiful and amazing it is. So halavai, my hope for myself, because I don't want you to think I'm excluding myself, but I'm not putting myself really first, I'm just saying myself included, I hope for all of us, okay, that we'll be able to daven with a richer, deeper sense of what all these passages really mean, and that in a sense we'll be able to draw closer to Kachar Bichu. Halavai Amen.